Let's go to 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2. It is a blessing to be with you and a privilege to share God's word with his people this morning. Second Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 14 through to verse number 17. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savour of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savour of death unto death, and to the other the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Let's bow for prayer one more time and ask the Lord's blessing on our time around his word. Let's pray. Father God, in heaven, we approach your throne of grace. Father, in soberness, Father, in humility of heart, understanding, Father, that we have no strength of ourselves, but our strength cometh from the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you are our strength, you are our song, you are our rejoicing, you are our buckler and our shield. Father, thank you that we have cause to triumph this morning in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the great salvation and the great love that you showed to us at Calvary. Lord, I pray as we approach your word that we would approach it with humility and holiness of heart. Father, we pray for a cleansing of our hands and of our hearts. Father, that as we come before you that we would be people that would cherish the words of Scripture. And Lord, people that hold fast to its truths. Lord, I pray that you'd give me grace to preach your word. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, that the people may see Christ. Hide me behind thy cross, Lord. Make yourself manifest to us this morning, that it would be yet not I, but Christ that lives in me. Father, I pray that your people would feel the same in their response to the word of God this morning. We love you and we look to you with expectant hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in 2 Corinthians here, the Apostle Paul begins with a great thanks to God. I think we need to be feeling that way very often. Now, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. We can never thank him enough, but he thanks God because God is the one who always causes them to triumph in Christ. I want to talk to you this morning about being a sweet savour of Christ, a sweet fragrance of Christ to God and to man. And it is an awesome responsibility that God has given to his people to be a sweet fragrance unto God. And Paul begins by saying here that I thank God because he always causes us to triumph. Always. Always we can sing the triumph and victor's song simply because we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul, though he was rejected, though his message was rejected, and though he was abused, and though he suffered many things for the cause of Christ, he could walk around with his head held up high, singing the victor's song because he was in Christ. He knew that his victory was because of Christ. We're on the winning side, brethren. We're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory. We are on the winning side. We are in Christ Jesus, and therefore we have won. We have won the battle. We know what the end of the book says. Christ is triumphant and we come and rule and reign with him. We come back with him. And what a rejoicing that is. And Paul says here, I'm in this understanding that it's God that always causes us to triumph, and that's simply because we are in Christ Jesus. And Paul, this word that he uses, by the way, this word always causes us to triumph in Christ, it comes from this word which refers to being able to sing the victor's song. And this one word here actually gives us a wonderful word picture from which I believe was in the heart and mind of the Apostle Paul as he continues to write the next few verses. So I want to kind of lay the foundation for us so that we can kind of get into his shoes as he writes this. Now, this word, which is always causeth us to triumph, was the word that was often used in relation to a Roman triumph. And this was a special tribute that Rome gave to their conquering generals when they came back from the battle. And they would come back from the battle and they would basically have a parade. And in that parade, there would be the commander and chief of the battle, and he would ride there in a golden chariot. And surrounded by this golden chariot and chief commander was all his officers. And they would walk there in the parade and they would have a display of the spoils of battle, the things that they had brought back from enemy territory. But also amongst those display of the spoils would be the captives that had been taken from the enemy land. And amongst that would be also some priests that would be burning incense. And as they would go on this marching down this parade and the commanding conqueror walking down there, there would be the officers and there would be the priests that would be burning incense. And that incense would be, as it were, part of the celebration that we have come back from a victorious battle. And the Apostle Paul takes this and uses this as a foundational thing in which we'll understand this passage more. So I want you to tuck that away with me as we go through this passage, because it will come in handy as we progress. And this wonderful word picture helps us understand more about what we are like in our fragrance unto God. Now let's begin by looking at verse number 15, let's look at verse 14. Sorry, just finish off this verse here. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest, here's the word here, the savour of his knowledge, the fragrance of his knowledge by us in every place. The Apostle Paul understood that when he went into every place, God wanted him to make known this sweet-smelling savour of Christ, this knowledge of the precious truths of the gospel out in all the area. When I read this end part of the verse, I think of Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make the savour of his knowledge by us, which is the go ye, in every place into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And when we take the gospel, what Paul's saying here is we're just like a sweet fragrance filling the earth for the glory of our God. That's what it's like, preacher of the gospel. That's what it's like, brother and sister, when you bear the good news to every land or to every person or in the place where God has put you, you are giving off a sweet smell in the nostrils of Almighty God. And this is what the Apostle Paul is referring to here, and God's trying to show us through this passage, verse 15, for we are unto God, here we see a fragrance to God, we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. And he begins to say that we are a sweet fragrance of Christ unto God. Our life and our message is sweet in the nostrils of Almighty God. I mean, fragrance is a powerful thing. Powerful thing. It was my brother-in-law the other day that walked in and I gave him a good Lebanese hug and kiss. And I went back about 7 years because he was wearing the perfume that I used to wear about 7 years ago. I said, is that what you're wearing? He's like, that's the one. And I thought to myself, man, what powerful, powerful thing a fragrance is, isn't it? It communicates to us. It reminds us. There's so much power in fragrance. Think about that for a moment now. Because Paul's simply saying here that we are a sweet-smelling savour unto God. We are in the nostrils of God a sweet-smelling savour. Have you ever just had a whiff and, wow, wonderful. Wonderful things come to mind, precious memories, okay? When God smells our life, brethren, what does he smell? You see, this is the challenge that he's giving to us here. We are unto God a sweet fragrance of Christ. Our life, our message, our gospel is sweet in the knowledge, in the nostrils of Almighty God. We must make manifest the savour of his knowledge in every place. This is the commission. This is the thing that God has called us to do. We who preach Christ, Christians that obey their commission. When the Church of God gets involved in the ministry of evangelism, they send up a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of Almighty God. I don't know about you, but that's something that I want to be for God this morning. I want to be a sweet fragrance in the nostrils of God. I want God to breathe down, as it were, and breathe upon my life, and I will know, oh, God is happy. He's pleased with the smell that I'm sending forth into his nostrils. This is the imagery that Paul is using here to help us understand this. Fragrances are powerful. And we need to be careful, brethren, how we smell in God's sight. Can I be honest with you today? The average child of God today does not smell good in the nostrils of Almighty God. And simply because of a life of sin, they're being tainted by their behavior against God. They're living a life that is opposed to the ways of God. They are neglecting to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are failing in their duties to honor and serve God with their life and to preach Christ to their neighbors, to their friends, and to their community. And God simply goes, there's something seriously wrong with that child of mine. He needs to have a bath. Amen. Amen. He needs to have a wash. And Christians, we need to have a wash. Many a times we get lazy in the work of God. We need to have a wash. We need to say, God, forgive me. I don't smell good to you this morning. How do you smell in the nostrils of Almighty God this morning? Because if I want to smell good in anyone's nostrils, I want to smell good in God's nostrils. I want to be pleasing to my God. I want my God to take a breath, as it were, from my life and take a big breathe in and just a beautiful smell to enter into his nose. I hope that's your desire today. And Paul's saying, if we want to be smelling sweet in the nostrils of Almighty God, we have to come to grips with the fact that we need to be witnesses for Christ. Because Paul's saying, when we go around putting this beautiful fragrance out called the gospel of Jesus Christ, God smells down upon our work, upon our labors, and upon our lives, and upon our message, and he's pleased, and he's pleased. Now, if God was to, as it were, take a big breath over the congregation this morning, I want to ask you, will he get a sweet savor? He might get a mixed smell. Some, it's good, but there's something wrong there. You see, but God is very concerned about how we smell to him this morning. God is very concerned about that. And this imagery is very, should I say, powerful, because it helps us think. Because we all know what smells are like. We all know the effects that they have on us. And no one likes to smell that which is, yeah, rotten or disgusting or, you know, unclean. Why then, Christian, should we live our lives in a way that gives off a bad smell to God? Think about that. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was a sweet-smelling savor unto God in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. He was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Why? Because when he died on that cross, it was like a sweet burnt offering that went up to God. And God was pleased. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God was pleased with the sacrifice of his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was a sweet-smelling savor unto God simply because he laid his life down according to the will of the Father. Can I just say, if you and I are willing to make a sacrifice for God this morning, we will smell sweet in his nostrils this morning. If you and I are willing to say, God, I'm done with living for myself. I want to bear your gospel to those that you have placed in my life. Then God, I want to smell good in your nostrils this morning, God. I'm going to have a wash. I'm going to be surrendered. I'm going to be a sacrifice to you that you can look down and smell and be pleased with what I have to offer to you. And Paul's saying here is, we're sweet in the nostrils of God, and we know that we're sweet in the nostrils of God simply because we not only are surrendered to God, but we are doing the work of God, preaching the gospel of God, and we're not ashamed of it. Sweet in the nostrils of God. And as I said, I'll say it again, the average Christian does not smell good in the nostrils of God. We've been out in the world too long, stinking like the love of money, stinking like Hollywood, stinking like cigarettes and the other things that go along when carnal Christians get away from God. And the average child of God today, if God was to take a deep breath upon our lives, we'd be ashamed. We should be ashamed. None of us dare not have a shower for a week and go to someone's house for a visit. They don't have a shower in a week anyway, but go to someone's house for a visit after that. This is repulsive. How much more, brethren, should we not smell sweet in the nostrils of Almighty God? Doesn't he deserve that sweet fragrance? The Apostle Paul said, I live my life to give this fragrance to God. Now, look what it says in verse number 15 here. For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Amongst the saved and amongst the lost, listen to this, we're sweet in the nostrils of God. Can I just say, no matter how you smell to the world, my friend, and they don't like the smell of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Bible here is saying whether we are ministering to the saved or whether we're ministering to those that are perishing, what we do understand and what we do know is that we're sweet to God. And Paul, this encourages my heart, brethren, because although people might not like the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ, although people might not like the smell of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, can I just say it's important that you smell right to God and not to man. It's more important that God is pleased with our smell than what men think of what we are propagating and what we are preaching and what we are teaching. And in these perilous times, as they come upon the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, church, we're going to realize and understand that we're going to smell more repulsive to the world and we need to smell more beautiful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're living in a day where people don't want to smell the message of the gospel. They don't want to hear. They don't want to believe. They don't want to bow in submission to the authority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he's saying, no matter what, whether we're amongst the saved, whether we're amongst the lost, no matter how we smell to men, I want to tell you something, we smell sweet to God. You know what he's simply saying is, I'm not concerned about what man thinks of me. I'm more concerned about what God thinks of me. I'm more concerned about what God smells when he smells my life than of what the people's opinion is, you know, how they think about me. Can I just say that many a man of God, many a woman of God, used of God, has often smelt bad to the society in which they lived, but in the nostrils of Almighty God, they were sweet. Many a missionary, many a servant, oh, why are you sharing with me this message? And oh, please leave me alone. But you know what God's doing? You know what God's doing from heaven when they're rejecting? That smells sweet to me. But they're not receiving the message. Yeah, but that's sweet to me. But they're rejecting the glorious gospel. But you're smelling beautiful to me. Why? Because you're taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. This is precious. This is precious, beloved. Because we so often fall into the fear of man. But the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. Can I just say, brethren, unless we deny ourselves and deny this fear that rules and reigns in our heart, then and only then can we truly give off a good smell to God. Then and only then will I say, I'm not concerned about what man thinks of me and what man can do unto me. I'm more concerned about how God views me this morning. I want to ask you, do you care more about what God thinks about you this morning or more about what your friends think about you this morning? That's an important question to ask yourself. Because if the reality is, if you care more about man than God, the reality is that you probably don't smell good in the nostrils of Almighty God this morning. Let's consider that, brethren. Let's look at the next part of this verse in verse number 16. To the one, we are a savour of death unto death. And to the other, the savour of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? I want to draw your attention back to the Roman triumph. As they will come back from the army, the commander and general right there in front, the officers, the priests giving off incense, fragrance. Okay, I want you to think about this for a moment. And when that fragrance was the smell of what? Victory, wasn't it? It was the smell of victory. Here is the parade and the procession where commanding general and all his officers are marching in a victorious manner, and there's the smell. There's the savour that the priests are burning up this incense, and to those that are on the winning side, what does it smell? That's the smell of victory, coming home. Victory, victory. But don't forget who else were in that parade. The captives, weren't they? What was that the smell of? Death, death. because the parade would go round all the way to Circus Maximus, where those ones that were taken captive will be fed to the wild beasts. And taking this imagery, we can learn this very truth, that our gospel message is to some life unto life, it's the smell of victory. And to others, it's death unto death. It's the smell of destruction. And you say, well, how does this happen? I'll tell you how it happens. When a man hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and hardens his heart to the message of salvation, my friend, he invites into his life death unto death. But when a man hears the gospel of Jesus Christ and smells salvation and victory and bows in submission, there's life unto life. You know what Paul's saying here? Our ministry is not a game. When you go around and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and share Christ with others, my friend, that's not a game. I think many a times we do not fully comprehend what it is that we're sharing. We are sharing a message that is powerful. The Bible teaches that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Life unto life to those that will submit themselves and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for those that reject it, and reject it, and reject it, death unto death. That's serious. Very serious. And the Apostle Paul is laying this for us here. God wants us to understand this here, that we must smell good in the nostrils of God. We must bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as some reject, well, to their own destruction and damnation. But to those that receive, life unto life. It's a serious thing. Paul's saying here, we're not trying to trick people. We're not playing games with people. We're not trying to sell out the gospel. We're not trying what we're going to do here is we're just going to present the gospel clearly. We're just going to preach Christ and Him crucified, and man will decide where they will spend eternity. Can I just say this right now, that when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody, you are sharing with them a serious message, a serious message. And when someone rejects the gospel, as a soul winner, we should walk away and our hearts should be saddened and say, God, please have mercy on that soul. Please, God, give that person another opportunity, another chance to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was only yesterday that I heard a friend of ours from church. His father passed away. He died. And his dad was an unbeliever. And it's very sad news to hear. Now, his son was saved from a very, very violent background. He was in prison. He was in prison for several years. You name it, he's done it. But he got delivered and rescued and saved from his sin. His dad was also a very rough man in his past. But when his father died, before his father died, this brother of ours, he was witnessing and trying to reach his father for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just time and time again, sharing Christ with him, sharing Christ. But his dad just kept saying, no, I don't want it, I don't want it, no, I don't want it, I don't want it. And then we found out that he was rejecting the gospel. Anyway, so we said, we had a friend's day at church and we said, let's invite him along and we'll pray that he'll hear the gospel and maybe God will work in his heart. So we were praying and praying and praying, and he came along, which is very unlikely, came along to this friend's day. And he heard the gospel clearer than ever. It was just a solid gospel message without excuse. He had cancer of the liver. Okay, he had cancer of the liver. And his liver was failing. But the doctors gave him 6 months to live, or more even, 6 months to a year to live. And I'm not being superstitious, but I'm saying after that friend's day that we had at church, and he got up and he did not receive Christ, I went to him to give him a bit more of a challenge after the message, but it was hardened to the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man plummeted down like never before. I think he only had another few months after that, 2 months, darling, was it? On his deathbed, his son comes to him trying to share Christ with him again. And he told his family, when next time this brother comes, tell him not to share Christ with me anymore. The next day, he died. Now, I'm not saying that I know the mind of God on this matter right here with every different person, how he works. But what I'm simply saying is rejecting the gospel is a serious, serious thing. It's not a game. This message is not a message whereby it's loose and it doesn't really matter. It matters. Brethren, it matters. When God knows that there is somebody that hears the gospel and they harden their hearts and reject the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend, that person is on a dangerous path. This is not a light matter. This is serious. And so it is when we preach Christ, we need to understand that this message is to some death unto death, but unto others, life unto life. And it's something that we must understand that when we share Christ, we're not playing games. We're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a serious message, brethren. We have the King's word from heaven, who's trying to speak to sinful man, his creation, saying, come and be reconciled to me. But when man rejects the Almighty God and hardens their heart, we hear, as it were, like in Genesis, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I couldn't get those words out of my head after I heard that news. My spirit shall not always strive with man. And I believe that is true today, brethren. God's spirit will not always strive with man. There's coming an end to everyone's life. And we must be taking this preaching of the gospel seriously. We plead with sinners saying, come to the Savior. He is willing and waiting and long-suffering. And by the way, that brother in the Lord whose father passed away, you know what he said to me when he died, his dad? He said, God has been so merciful to my dad. So merciful. So merciful. Can I say that? God has been merciful to his father. How merciful is God to sinners? Oh, we should only have one opportunity. Imagine you reject the King's word at the first time you heard it. Off with your head. But he is the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, again and again and again. The mercy and long suffering of God. We must not take it for granted. This gospel message is important. Now look at verse number 16, at the end there. Because as Paul had this, as it were, this overwhelming picture in his head of these ones going into captivity to be killed, death unto death, those that are winning and the victory, and that's a sweet savor of life unto life. Look what he says here in verse number 16. He says, and who is sufficient for these things? I could just imagine him writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and then he just got back and, whoa, what a ministry. What a ministry. Who is sufficient for these things? Who can bear these things? Who? That's how we should feel as preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we should feel as those that bear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should simply say, how is it that I am sufficient to do such a ministry? That this gospel would go forth and be life unto life for some and death unto death for others. What a ministry. What a ministry, is saying. Who is sufficient for these things? Nobody is sufficient for these things, brethren. Look what he says in chapter 3, verse number 6. Verse 5. And not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Amen for that, brethren. God is our sufficiency. You say, how, Joshua, am I going to go and bear this gospel to the lost and dying world? How am I going to go and share this message which carries so much weight in the lives of those that reject it and is such a blessedness in the lives of those that receive it? How, Joshua, am I going to go and be this sweet fragrance unto God? How? Well, our sufficiency is of God. You know, the best soul winners are the ones that say, God, help me. The best soul winners are the one that says, God, for without you, I can do nothing. The best soul winners are the ones that yield themselves to Almighty God, understanding that in and of themselves, in their flesh, dwells no good thing, but they must walk in the power of the Spirit of God.
The best soul winners are the ones that commit their lives to God, that God would get the victory and use them in his hands like a vessel. Our sufficiency, brethren, is of God. Don't think that there's anything in and of ourselves that is the power in which reaches others for Jesus Christ. There is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. In fact, if we think that we are sufficient of ourselves, we're going to do more damage to the gospel than good. And this is a serious problem that we have in our generation today, because a lot of people know the gospel, but a lot of people don't know the gospel in the way that they should know the gospel. And this is what's happened to watered down Christianity today in the 21st century, brethren, that people would say, I've heard about Jesus Christ, but I really wonder how many of them have actually heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I really wonder, even in this land, how many people have been challenged concerning their sin, been challenged about their rebellion against God, be challenged against their sin against the Almighty, and how they must repent and turn to the Lord and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. I wonder how many people have been challenged in that way in this country. I'm sure a lot of people heard about Jesus, but I really wonder how many people have been challenged with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think a lot more need to be challenged than what we think, brethren. A lot more. There's churches today filled in this nation of unregenerate people. Why? Because of the watering down of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And look what Paul says in verse 17, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are fully committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not mixing it. We're not adding anything to it. We're teaching it plain and simply as it is in truth, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our message. That's our ministry. And we're not going to begin to water it down. And brethren, that must be our attitude. We're not going to be as those that corrupt the word of God. We're not going to be as those that add to the word of God. We're going to just preach it in sincerity. We're going to preach it as if it was from God. And we're going to preach it in the sight of God as God looks down upon us. We're going to preach it without accountability. We're going to share Christ. We're going to speak of God. We're going to speak of Christ as if God's watching us right now. This is how we have to preach the gospel. In a day of compromise, brethren, the most easiest and most simple thing is to just adjust our message. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But don't adjust the message, brethren. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share it as it is in truth. Be a sweet fragrance unto who? God. 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 That's all that matters, that God looks down on my ministry and on my sharing of Christ and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Death unto death for some, life unto life for others. Hey, who is sufficient for these things? We're not. We're not. Our sufficiency, as Paul said, is of God. Now, I want you to look at one more verse with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7. It says, but we have this treasure. This treasure of the blessedness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, that should be encouraging, brethren. What we have today is this treasure. Did you know the gospel is a treasure, brethren? Did you know what you have in your hearts, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a treasure? But it's in earthen vessels, in clay vessels, easily broken, fragile, weak things, aren't we? Aren't we? But that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That when we see a sinner repent from his way and turn to Jesus Christ, we say, oh, that was the treasure, not the vessel. That was the treasure. That was the power of the gospel. That was the power of God working in and through us. We were the vessel, just weak and fragile. But God has allowed us to have this treasure in earthen vessels, that when we share Christ, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You know what Paul said to the church at Corinth? When I came to you, I came not in excellency of speech, nor of man's wisdom, declaring unto the mysteries of God. He said, but he said, when I came to you, I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And he said, why? That's your wisdom. Your faith, sorry, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know what he's saying here? We are simply nothing. Vessels. 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 Who is sufficient for these things? Brethren, let's put our hands up this morning and say, not me, not me, not me. And the moment we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'll be honest, Lord, this ministry is too big for me to bear. Lord, this gospel is too precious for me to preach. Father, this message is so influential that it could be the death of somebody or the life of someone, the eternal damnation of someone or the glory of heavens for another. Lord, this is too much to bear, and cry out like Paul and say, who is sufficient for these things? And God will say, okay, you're right where I want you, my son, my daughter. Your sufficiency will come from God. God. That's where it comes from. We cannot glory or boast in anything. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. How am I going to glory in anything? All that you see, all these churches planted, all these people saved, it's all the power of the preaching of the cross. Didn't you know that when I was at Lystra and Derbe, I didn't have many converts. I was stoned and left for dead. But somewhere else, there was the great harvest of many souls. What was it, Paul? What was your secret? I was just trying to be a fragrance unto God. I was just trying to take around this perfume of the gospel and just spray wherever God's put me. And I'm just trying to get the good news out. I'm just trying to get people to see that this is the answer. I'm just trying to be a sweet fragrance to God. That's all I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to simply be a sweet fragrance to God. Can you say that, brethren? I just want to smell good to you, God, today. I just want to smell good to you today. Lord, there's hindrances in my heart, there's sin in my life, there's unconfessed sin, there's bitterness, there's envy, there's anger, there's pride. God, there's things in my heart and I'm not smelling sweet to you today. I'm negligent in the ministry, I'm being lazy and slothful. God, I need you to help me today to be a sweet smelling fragrance and savor in your nostrils. That's all we have to do. Come to God in a broken heart, ask Him this, Lord, help me. I just want to be effective for you. I just want people to look down from heaven. I just want you to look down from heaven and just see one sweet smelling savor going day by day, one sweet smelling living sacrifice that is just spreading out this beautiful fragrance unto heaven. I think we need to start thinking this way, brethren. I know I've been guilty of it after just studying over this message again. I thought, Lord, you know, forgive me. Being too concerned about man. Lord, I honestly just want to smell good to you this morning. That's all. I had to tell the Lord that. Lord, I just want to smell good to you. That's all. I just want to know that you're looking down from heaven and smiling upon this sweet smell that I'm being for your glory. That's just simple like that, brethren. That's all. You know, we complicate Christianity. We complicate the Christian life. We complicate serving God. We complicate the preaching of the gospel. Let's just keep it this simple this morning, brethren. I just want to smell good to God this morning. I just want to just spread that fragrance in whatever capacity that He will allow me to do. I'm just going to understand there's no sufficiency in myself. This message is powerful. I cannot bear it alone. Lord, you're just going to have to help me. I just want to smell good to you. I just want to share with somebody Jesus Christ this morning. That's all I want to do. I want to share Christ to somebody, because I just want to smell good to you, Lord. I just want to smell good to you, Lord. Let's pray, ask the Lord to help us. Father God in heaven, Lord, who is sufficient for these things? Lord, we really, really come to grips with the fact, Lord, that we have no power and strength and wisdom of our own. We come to grip with the fact, Father God, that this message is life unto life and death unto death. Lord, we know that your word does not return void. It is powerful. Father, when we do ask and pray that you would help us just to be focused, Lord, on smelling sweet to you this morning. Lord, for many of us, Lord God, perhaps we need to wash, Lord God. Many of us, Father God, we need to confess and forsake our sin and our negligence, Father, and our slothfulness in the preaching of the gospel. Help us, Father, to be fixed upon being sweet in your nostrils, Father, sweet smelling savor unto God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to this end. And Lord, have mercy on these ones that reject you, Father, and your message. Please, Father God, I pray that you'd have mercy on them and that you would be patient with them as you are, and long-suffering, Father, as you are.
And Lord, we just plead with you this morning for these ones you've put in our lives that are lost, Father God, that you would have mercy on them, Father, and continue to strive with them and convict them and expose their sin, Father, and their need for you as Saviour. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.